And we're back with Matt Braun of Twins Daily on today's episode of Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Wednesday, December 8th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Back with Matt Braun. Matt was here a couple weeks ago, and the reviews are always just, they rave. They rave for Matt. Matt, how are you first? And second, what'd you think of this frenzy?
I'm doing well. I'm just finishing up final stuff right now. For this show specifically, I've actually busted out the nicest whiskey a college student can buy. I'll be sipping this. Hey, I'm 22. I can do this now.
Matt, good for you. You can just sit and sip. You know, some of us, the binge of college, it's a different kind of trend there, I think. But good for you. You're like an old soul. Like, you can sit and have a glass of whiskey and enjoy it. And
You don't even know. I am the youngest 55-year-old to ever live.
I guess you have to be as like a future history teacher.
Exactly. It's fitting. Yeah. Like, right before this, I was reading a book about Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Like, it's just right back there. It's right there. So
it's a personality. It's a lifestyle. Speaking of history, Matt, we do have a question today about the Hall of Fame. Thank you for your questions. Got back very quickly on Twitter in the DM. So thank you. We're going to get to those questions. We want to talk today, though, a little bit, and Matt can lead this in whatever direction he wants. But the last time we talked was before a bunch of these starters had been off the market. Now we're fully in lockout season, unfortunately. It's a really good time to be reading about Richard Nixon, Matt, because there's nothing going on in baseball. Nothing, absolutely nothing. This is a good time to kind of step away, but we don't. We continue on and we talk about what happened, and Gausman's gone, Ray's gone, Stroman's gone, they're all gone. And last time I was begging you to please feed into my optimism that one of these guys would end up in Minnesota. Matt, you were right. They did not. What's your reaction?
My sizzling pessimism has won the day again. I can't believe it. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, I was here a few weeks ago and I told you I did not expect the Twins to sign anyone of note, of value, of those sort of high upper tier. Selfishly, I'm actually quite happy that Ray went to the Mariners, because literally it's like an hour and some change drive. I can go watch, you know, the reigning AL Cy Young winner pitch. And selfishly, I enjoy that. But it's been a weird sort of mixture of who has signed with what, especially Texas. My God, what in the world are they up to? So it's been sort of hard to wrap my mind around. But at the same time, I'd say there's still plenty of quality players out there. You know, if anyone wants to freak out right now, I don't think I'd be doing that. I still think there's a path to a successful offseason available for the Twins.
I agree. I think there are ways they can go. And you and I have gone back and forth on this a little bit. But are you still sitting in a position today? What does that ideal offseason look like for you going into 2022? What is your best case scenario for next year? Is it playing a lot of the kids? Is it going half and half? What does that look like?
Well, I think it's a real interesting question. And I think if I could bring this around to a different thing that I know you'd want to talk about is the Byron Buxton extension. And I feel like getting that extension down really opens up a lot of options for the Twins, because when we're sort of visualizing what their timeline would look at, it was all sort of like, well, after next year, you're going to lose Buxton. Who knows after that? But now you have him for, what was it, 7 more years, I believe it was. It's wide open. If you want to take a year off and sort of, you know, as I've preached on this show, let the chips fall where they are, play the young guys, you can do that. If you want to sort of push it a little bit, say, no, I think we can perhaps compete a little, sign a few guys, you can do that as well. You now have time, because I think really the only other player you're sort of looking at your watch and being like, well, he's kind of getting up there is Donaldson at this time. But other than that, you're still going to have Kepler in the middle of their general prime, Kepler, Polanco, you know, Garver. You're going to have guys like Kirilloff and Larnett coming up. So I just still think it's really wide open for them. And even with their one other move they've done, I find it hard to tell exactly where they're going.
It's so fascinating. I said this last time, and I think you actually made this great point that we've known in these last four or five off seasons what needed to be done. And it's not like we don't know what needs to be done, but we don't know the direction. And like, you're right. Like the Buxton extension can give you, does it really give you a direction? Like that can be separate, right? Like you can extend Buxton for 7 years separately from competing in 2022, if that makes sense. Like if it was a 4-year extension for Buxton or a 3-year extension with some option years, I'd say, okay, like they're clearly going to try in 2022. I'm just not sure they are, Matt, but here's the thing for me. And I want to know your perspective. People are not going to like if their payroll is 100 million. I mean, their payroll is 91 million right now going into 2022. And you mentioned like there are good players remaining on the market. You know, we can get into some specifically if you want to, but just generally, what do you think the payrolls? I mean, they've averaged 127 million since 2018, Matt. They have to spend 35 million just in 2022 to get back to 127. How are they going to spend that money? And will they?
Well, that sounds like a Trevor Story sized hole, if you ask me.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and a couple of times ago, Matt, you brought up Trevor Story. I remember that.
I'm Christmas present. Obviously can't sign him during Christmas unless a miracle happens. Yes. I don't really have a good answer for it, to be quite honest, because there's just so much that, you know, like you said, 35 million is a lot. Even if you do sign Story, what's he going to come out to, like 25 million a year, maybe, if I'm just spitballing. So even then you have 10 million to work with. You have maybe even more if we're talking about upping it, 10% or so. So how they get there, I'm not exactly sure. This may be a hot take in Twins territory. I don't know if it is. I don't really care too much about payroll. I care about, the quality of the team and where's the team going to go. And if, for example, I can say, all right, we'll take a little bit off. Maybe we only go to 100, 110, 105 next year. But that's only because we're planning on going really into it 2022, I'd be okay with that. So I'm not really too concerned actually about like the total number at the end of the day, where opening day, everyone's like, oh, it's only 107. I'm just like, well, there's more nuance to that, I feel like.
Yeah. And I want to get into this a little bit more. I know payroll is not the most exciting thing, but an interesting view of it. First, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever this holiday season. Grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar or even better than a candy bar. Built Bar, filled with so much holiday goodness. You get the best of both worlds. It's amazingly low in calories, sugar, and carbs and fat, and it's high in protein. So many flavors. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor. I don't know if Matt has a favorite flavor. My favorite flavor is mint chocolate brownie. I think it's just delicious. You can tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings as well. Or you can dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of cocoa this holiday season. Like some of those marshmallowy treats around the holidays, you need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. Find all that at Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thank you again for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Here with Matt Braun, Twins Daily. You can find his Twitter here if you're watching on YouTube. If not, it's at Matthew_B Twins. We're talking payroll, and I'm going to ask Matt, if I told you that if their payroll is 100, I know you said you don't really mind what the final number is, but Twins fans, I was prompting this question. If it's 105, 110 million this year and they're playing the kids like we've said, for the most part, or that's their plan. But that means when they want to compete in 2023 and 2024, as Rick Hahn once famously said for the Chicago White Sox, we always like to, in any way, look back at the White Sox when we talk, Matt. He said money will be spent. What if they spent 140, 145, 150, really invested because they saved on 2022? Would that change your perception? And should that change Twins fans' perception?
I mean, it would. It's always one of those things where until it happens, you can't really say too much about it. Like, however, some people complain about they haven't signed a starting pitcher. And some people say, well, they've gotten close with Darvish and kind of with Wheeler. And it's like, well, close ain't good enough. You haven't done it. So really, until that actually happens, I think there's always going to be this sort of attitude of, oh, they're not, you know, they're always playing like a second rate team. They're never playing like the big market that a Minneapolis team should be like, which is, I think, a very fair complaint to have just generally and just sort of like in specific years you can point to. But with everything that's going to be going on with how we anticipate what 2022 is going to look like, it's one of the few things I'm willing to kind of give them a little bit more leeway, just because I don't think this is one of those holes you can spend your way out of, truly, and especially with what's left in the starting pitching market.
Let's get to some questions. We got one from Josiah. I'm curious to know what you think about this, Matt. I was going to talk about this last week. I apologize, Josiah. I didn't get to this. But Josiah asks, would you rather have the Twins draft and develop elite pitchers or elite position players?
Now, you know, I thought about this question for a while because I think it's more interesting than even, and I don't mean to be rude if it comes off his way than Josiah thinks it is. Because I went to pitching, and I think most people would do that. But then I thought about it more and I was like, well, actually, if you consider, let's consider the last handful of teams that have won the World Series and let's consider how they won the World Series and what they were really good at. If you look at it more often than not, it's because they were good at developing hitting rather than pitching. And pitching sort of came as a secondary, as a thing you traded for, as a thing you spent for, mm-hmm. or maybe you already had a guy or two and it just, you know, that's just how it ended up. And so I think I would actually say hitting, because then the hitting prospects, not only will they be helping your team in the lineup, obviously, but they'll be helping you trade for the pitching that you can actually believe in and be more guaranteed. You can trade for the Justin Verlanders and the Coles and the Grinkies and do all that fun stuff because you already had the, I hate calling prospects assets, but it kind of is. They kind of are assets in this scenario of you have the value that you can then give to someone else.
Unless you supplement, neither matters. If you look at Cleveland, they develop elite pitchers. They don't supplement. And they had Francisco Lindor and they had Jose Ramirez, so they kind of had half and half. And what did they do? They went to the World Series. And they were amazing. But they don't supplement. So if you don't supplement, you're not going to complete the cycle, right? Like, it's, you still need to supplement in the area that you're missing. I agree with you. I think it could go both ways. I think it depends on what your team cycle is at that point. Like, the Twins are desperate for starting pitching, so the knee jerk is going to be like, oh, elite starting pitching always. Jacob asks, in light of Tony Oliva and Jim Cott in their election to Cooperstown, what are the odds for Torii Hunter, Justin Morneau, AJ Pierzynski, and Joe Nathan, Matt?
Well, let's just go down descending of least to most, I guess. AJ Pierzynski, he's on the ballot. That's all I can say about him. Congrats, dude. Let's see. Justin Morneau, he's got an MVP, which is more than you can say for a lot of guys on the ballot. But ultimately, you know, I don't think he was ever consistently great enough to be one of those guys. Hall of very good, if yes. such a thing existed, definitely. Torii Hunter, he's got a very niche case that you'd have to really like squint at to sort of look through. I think I know I wrote an article about it. It felt like ages ago, but he was one of the few outfielders to have, I think it was like 10 gold gloves or something like that. Like, it was a very, very short list. And on that very, very short list was a lot of Hall of Fame players. So there's an argument you can make there if only you really look at accolades and home runs. Joe Nathan is probably the most interesting case there. Because I think we're starting to see a movement towards appreciating relievers. It's why Billy Wagner's been able to not only stick around, but sort of thrive on the ballot. Of course, Mariano Rivera just got in. And so I think Nathan has a chance as more young guys kind of cycle in, as they sort of look him up and say, actually, you know, he was a lot better than we maybe gave him credit for. You know, maybe doesn't have the big save numbers. But you look at the war, you look at sort of the win probability added in context with relievers of his time. He was up there. So I don't know if I would personally vote for him, but I think he has a case. I think he has an outside chance of making it, more so at least than anyone else.
I think that's the right order. AJ, I don't think, has a shot, as you were saying. And I agree. I agree with that order, definitely. And I think Joe, when I read Joe's name and I hear about Joe on the ballot, Joe Nathan, I think he has the best shot, I think, of that group for the reasons you mentioned. Let's get to these other questions. I want to tell you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online has you covered all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues the march to the playoffs, Vikes likely won't be there. But either way, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is where the game starts. I keep kicking Matt. Matt's back answering questions. What is the future at shortstop for the Twins in 2022 and beyond from our friend Andrew?
I don't know.
On to the next one.
If I have to. Truly, I mean, they have so many different potential options here. They can go out. I've seen a lot of people sort of get anxious that they're going to send Polanco back out there. I don't see it happening. No. But you have two guys in Royce Lewis and Austin Martin, where both are quite similar in the sort of like, well, they can play shortstop. There are a lot of questions on how well they can play it. And really, especially with Lewis, we don't really know until we know. I think Martin, if I remember correctly, played mostly center field when he came over. A little bit of third base, a little bit of second base. Lewis, of course, hasn't played in like 2 years, so it's hard to tell there. But either guys, I think, are capable of doing it. As I said before, how good they are, you know, we'll see. So maybe it's them. Maybe they do go the option. They say, well, let's take Trevor Story, if I have to say his name again, because he's more of a guarantee. We know he can play shortstop at a high level. We know he can hit at a high level. Let's just sign him and forget about the position for, you know, 7 or 8 years or however long that deal's going to go. But as it is, I mean, it's such a wide open, I literally can't say.
Yeah. This is what I personally think their plan is, Andrew and Matt. I think we're heading toward Jose Iglesias, Anderson Simmons, training for Nick Ahmed. I think we're heading toward that. I think this is the plan, and I've been wrong on so many things. So don't even.
At least they can be backing up Alex Cobb when they do that. So I mean,
yes, Alex Cobb, 100% thought he was coming. Did not think Berríos was getting traded. The list goes on and on. I could just sit here and tell you all night. But here's what I think they're going to do. I think it's going to be Iglesias or Simmons or someone in that ilk. And then I think they want it to be Royce Lewis. However, I think that Austin Martin will fill in. I think Nick Gordon will fill in if he can hit and continue to hit and keep himself up. I think Polanco will fill in when they need him. But I think they want, by 2023, Royce Lewis to be manning like 70% of games at short. I think the plan for Austin Martin long-term is left field, backing up Buxton in center, playing third when Donaldson leaves. I think he's going to bounce around and be like the Chris Taylor of the Twins. Hopefully hits like Chris Taylor, Matt. Well, he's in line awesome. For a similar contract. You know, we get going on these prospects. But I think that's the plan for those two. I could be wrong, and you're right. Like, they could easily, not easily, but they could convince themselves to sign Trevor Story. And they could, if Trevor Story's still sitting there, and it's a Donaldson situation where the market's actually smaller than you would think for whatever reason, for the calf or whatever for Donaldson and just the market, I could see them making a run at Story. If they're unable to get Rodon, if they're unable to trade for starters and add salary, I could see them doing that. So I agree with you. It could all change. But I think at this point in time, to me, it's stopgap 2022. And I think it's Lewis, hopefully by 2023. But as you know, there's a risk in that. And maybe their backup is that it'll be Martin, a combination of Martin, Polanco, Gordon. I don't know how that's going to work, but maybe that's the backup plan. Last question here from MN Smith. Appreciate your questions. Thank you so much. Thank you, MN Smith. Thoughts on adding Jorge Soler and our friend Brandon Warren, former host of Lockdown Twins, host of the Midwest Swing Pod, has been kicking this idea around. I've been seeing this, and I think it's interesting because I like Soler. But Matt, what do you think about adding Soler to play left field / DH? I think there's a spot for him because right now I don't know who's starting in left field on opening day. I don't know if they're going to go back to Arraez or what. I don't know who's starting at DH. I figure maybe Sano with Kirilloff at first. I don't know really who's manning that. Is there any interest for Jorge Soler from your side?
You know, I guess my question is Jorge Soler any good? Actually, because I mean, you know, he just had the Monster World Series. Of course, I was watching that. But I mean, you pop open his Fangraphs, he's had 1 year above one WAR. He's had 2 years above a 120 WRC plus, which for a corner outfielder who can, quite frankly, who should not be having a glove, that's not good enough. So I don't know. I just don't know if he's any good. Actually, he's had one significant year in 2019. Even last year, the year where you could actually point to and say, "Oh, there he was. He helped turn the Braves around." Negative WAR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I'm sort of looking at. Quite at that point, I'd rather see what Brett Rooker has, quite honestly. So I wouldn't be for that. No.
That's interesting. I think Soler, who he strikes me as, mad, and he was so fun to watch in 2019, not against the Twins, because I remember just hitting bombs against the Twins in 2019. I think the Twins went 14-5 against the Royals anyway. But I think Soler is, like Miguel Sano, when he's locked in, when he's making consistent contact, I think he's one of the most powerful in the world. Like, I think when he's making consistent contact, like Miguel Sano, he can go on these runs, and that's 2019. That's his second half with Atlanta. I think he was over 900 OPS with Atlanta. His on-base percentage is way up. Like, it is so much to me the approach of Sano when you're making consistent contact, when you're walking, when you're spinning on pitches, and you're consistent in your approach, going the opposite. It's the same things we hear about Sano all the time. When they're dialed in, they're super dangerous. And that's the category I put Soler into. When he gets dialed in, he's super dangerous, but he can have runs like he did at the beginning of 2019 or at the beginning of 2021 with Kansas City, where he's striking out a ton, hitting, I think he's hitting like .150. He was one of the worst regulars in baseball. Him and Hunter Dozier, two Royals, were the worst regulars in baseball. And then I think third was Andrelton Simmons at that point. So that's the only reason I remember, because I was looking up to see where Simmons was, and I was like, Soler. But he did go to Atlanta, Matt. He was a lot better in Atlanta. And I think the excitement around him is the bomb he hit in the World Series off, I think that was Luis Garcia, but also 2019, and then the second half of this year kind of shows his upside as a slugger. And if he's on, he's dialed in. Excuse me, he can get it going. Is there any interest from your side after knowing that?
Man, I still don't know, just because, not just everything I said, but considering that power corner. Yeah, no, I'm just shooting you down, man.
Hey,
don't sign anyone.
That's why we talk, man. That's why we do it. It's good to get perspectives. There might be too many. I mean, I still think the strength of this team, and you can defer or whatever, is right-handed power. I mean, it has to be still. Like, if they're healthy, it's going to be right-handed power. So you can add to that strength, I guess, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to me, like, I mean, he's a high upside play. If he's still there, he's still out there, and you feel like he can, you see things in him where he can continue the second half going into 2022, I could see the upside with Jorge Soler. Matt, anything else on your mind you want to discuss tonight?
There was one thing I really wanted to. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get to it. I should
give you more of a platform. That's on me.
No, I already got big enough of a platform. I can't believe like 1,000 people follow me on Twitter. I find it ridiculous, to be honest. But I wanted to talk about Dylan Bundy, the one signing they actually made.
I keep forgetting they signed him.
I know. I mean, he's a very even as a guy who like kind of is intrigued by him, he's a very forgettable pitcher. So yeah. I don't blame you. Just because, you know, whenever a guy has like a breakout year, and then whenever he sort of like falls back, the first thing, especially for a pitcher, the first thing I do is I go to his pitch usage. And I'm like, okay, what happened? Because usually that's like the most visceral thing you can point to.
Yeah.
And I'm just, Nash, I'll tell you, I'm baffled. I'm baffled by this. Because, I'll tell you right now. Because this slider in 2020, that was the money pitch. That really is what pushed him over the top. Used it 25% of the time. I mean, just crazy ex-woba, crazy whatever. It was just a phenomenal pitch. And then 2021, for whatever reason, for God knows why, they used it less often and they pumped up his sinker.
Dude, like the 9%. Sinkers. I'm sorry, which I'm not trying to. This is just the sinkers. The sinker usage is just always. I always look. I'm like, why are you throwing that pitch? I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
I don't know either. I'm glad you're with me here because 399 X Woba. I'm just like, forget it. That pitch doesn't exist.
I just don't understand. Dude, it happens constantly. I look at these pitchers on the market or like trade targets like Chris Bassett, Montas, Luis Castillo. They all throw these sinkers. I'm like, why are you throwing that sink? I just don't get it. But where are you leading us to, Matt? What's the change in 2022?
All right, what's the change? So not only this, but I was watching a video by Nick Pollock, who's with Pitcher List. He's one of my favorite sites outside, of course, Twins Daily and Fangraphs.
TwinsDaily.com.
TwinsDaily.com. I haven't written for them in a while, but go there anyways. And he did a great breakdown, sort of looking at more specifically his tunneling. And he came to very similar conclusions. Like he's using his fastball too much in counts where he shouldn't be using a fastball. For a guy with a slider as good as it is, he shouldn't be trying to put guys away with his fastball. And even when he was putting it in good locations, because it's only, 89, 90, 91, definitely not overwhelming by any sense of the imagination. Guys are just able to turn on it. And threw him multiple times on he either put it in a good location or it was a 2-strike count and a dude just hit it out because, he's throwing 91 in a day and age, everyone's throwing 96.
Yep.
So I really, I want to see him, just completely nix the sinker, rely more on the slider. We'll see about the changeup. He still has somewhat extreme splits against lefties because the changeup's not that great. But I feel like if you do those two things, you're back in a very similar place to where he was in 2020. And for $4 million, hey, I'll take that bet.
Yeah, I want to preface this comment I'm about to add on to Matt's phenomenal breakdown by saying I do not think Dylan Bundy is going to take a 2020 Kenta Maeda step. But the comparison here is that you can throw your slider against righties and lefties. If that's your best pitch, throw it against whoever. Like throw it against who could throw it down and away to lefties. We saw Kenta do that so much, and then his splitter too. And he had excellent command in that season, and always has had strong command and a great slider. If you can dial that up against righties and lefties, cut out that sinker, man. I'm just so sick of the sinkers, man. If I see another sinker, I swear I'm going to throw my remote at my TV.
Even if it's like Blake Trinan
or Bruce Arguedero, don't want to see your sinker, especially if your name's Dylan Bundy. Matt, thank you so much. Anything else tonight, kind sir?
That is it. I've gone on my Dylan Bundy sinker rant. I'm done with the day. That is all I wanted to talk
about. We're done with the sinker, so. As long as everybody knows that. Matt, thank you so much. Let me know next time you want to come on. We'll do it. Hopefully, we are back to actual baseball transactions sooner rather than later. If I don't talk to you, happy holidays, and good luck on your finals. Good luck with Richard Nixon. A lot to get to there. I look forward to our next chat, brother.
Hey, I look forward.